Today, the cash ban breakthrough. The game's afoot. Hello again, it's Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Welcome to the latest post covering finance and prop news with a distinctively Australian flavour. And I'm joined again by Robbie Barwick from the CEC. Hi, Robbie.
Hi, Martin. We've got to stop meeting like this.
Yeah, it's a fast-moving environment that we're in, but talk about real time, eh?
Yep, absolutely. It's all happening at once.
So there's a few breakthroughs today. The cash ban bill was, as expected, brought to the House. And it's gone now to committee, basically. So the game is started. The ball's in play.
It is. Now, so there's bad news and there's good news. The bad news is the bill itself is worse than the exposure draft. The actual bill is an absolute ban on all cash transactions over $10,000, any kind of transactions, including deposits and withdrawals in banks, everything. The few things in the exposure draft that were qualifications to that or exemptions have been moved out of the bill into this trick, this ministerial regulation, which will provide all those exemptions. So, yes, you can take more than $10,000 out of the bank, et cetera, and all that according to the regulation. But the regulation can be changed at the whim of the minister at a moment's notice. And I'm particularly concerned about the withdrawal and deposit part of it because, yeah, we know so much of this is about boosting banks, trapping people in banks, and this is another way they can do it. To if they get a sense that people are really losing confidence in banks and taking their money out, whacking this kind of drop that exemption, right, and bang your trap. So that's the bill. And I also must say we haven't seen the regulation, Martin, because the regulation that's on the Treasury's website by definition has changed, and they haven't provided the new regulation yet. So that's bad. They're pushing ahead with it.
And Robbie, just a couple of other points. There's much more focus also on the digital currencies, the cryptocurrencies, right? And basically they're saying once that's up to scale, that will be included as well.
And right there is that's something very important people need to take notice of. The way they've said it in the explanatory memorandum, once digital currency or cryptocurrency becomes a material way people can engage in the black economy, they will exempt it from the regulation. That's the point. That's the power of this regulation process. So you don't need to the only thing they need to amend the bill for, the law for, if they pass it, is to reduce the $10,000 limit, right? And we know KPMG, et cetera, already want to take it down to $5,000 and $2,000. So if they want to do that, they'll have to go to another bill. But for so much of the other stuff, bang, it's just a case of dropping those exemptions from the regulation. And that's very dangerous power they'll have.
And the point about regulation is, right, it can be done literally at the stroke of a pen, right? So there's no advertising, there's no lead time, there's no notice. So if a minister wakes up one morning or the Treasury wakes up and says, right, we need to stop cash withdrawals out of the bank, they can literally do it.
Yep, exactly. So that's the bad news. The good news is, yes, we now have, we don't just have a committee of inquiry. The Labor Party, and I want to emphasise this, it's very important because I haven't seen it in the last quite a few years with Labor. The Labor Party took the point on getting this referred to the committee for an extended inquiry. And the Bills Committee meeting last night and told the government that. The government opposed it because the government just wanted a token inquiry. They knew there was going to be an inquiry. Just make it token. I call it a Jane Hume special, right, which we've experienced a couple of times. Ram it through, you know, do token stuff and have a rigged outcome and that's it, bang. Stick to their schedule of having this cash ban in place by the 1st of January. That's what the government wanted. Labor said, not only did Labor suggest an inquiry, it insisted on it, and it had already lined up the numbers, the Greens, One Nation, Central Alliance. Now, we have to credit One Nation and Qatar, et cetera, with actually being the first initiators of the opposition to this. But I have to credit Labor with once they got the point that there was objections. And I think this is a sign that that protests work. The calls people have been making, that's why I wanted to do this broadcast. The calls people have been making are work. Labor heard the message, right? took the time to look at it and go, yeah, this is, there's serious implications here. Let's have an extended inquiry. So the inquiry we have has a reporting date of 7th of February. And I can tell you now from, you know, what is it, 19th of September to 7th of February, that is significant. Yes, Christmas will be in the meantime, but there's no excuse now for them not to have proper hearings, right, and a proper airing of the issues. So that's the important thing. Now, I've got a couple of suggestions for people. One is take stock of the fact. If you made phone calls, take stock of the fact they've had an impact, right, and make more. Especially, no, what I do suggest people do, call your Labor MPs and senators and say, good on you, right? Also call One Nation, call Centre Alliance if you're in South Australia, say, good on you. They did the right thing, right? It's good when they get positive feedback for doing the right thing. Be prepared to turn on them again in a heartbeat if they stop doing the right thing. But when they do the right thing, let them know that, right? So call them back and say, good on you, heard what you did, that's great. This is very important to get this kind of inquiry. That's the first thing. Second thing, start working now on a submission. Now, I will provide the website, Martin, that you can put under this link. There's a link under this video. The Senate Economics Legislation Committee has already put up the website. What they haven't put up yet is the deadline for submissions. That'll be determined this afternoon, so we don't know what that'll be yet. Some people fear that the government is capable of using its power its control of the committee to, even though they've been told to report by the 7th of February, to fast forward the process, all right? Stuff what the Senate says, etc. Now, if they do that, well, we just slam them hard, right? We'll hit them hard. But I personally expect that given the Senate voted on this to say we're going to have a proper inquiry, I think the Senate committee will have to do a proper inquiry. And so you'll have the website, you'll keep referring to it, you'll see when the deadline is, make a submission. Everyone who made the 4,000 submissions to the Treasury, for a lot of you, just take your submission and send it to these guys, right? If you can do an update based on information, you know, do that. But definitely make those submissions, and we can make sure that first part of the process is well and truly, treated seriously. There's the politicians all get the idea, because this time it's not just Treasury where they can bury it, because Treasury has buried those submissions, right? This time it has to be public. All the politicians will know what's coming in. They have to read them, by the way. The members of the committee have to read them. So make those submissions, and we can front load the process here to make sure this is a proper inquiry.
Mm. And so I think, Robbie, worth saying a couple of points. The first is it may be more effective not just to send the last submission again, right? But effectively, there are a whole bunch of additional arguments that we can actually construct based on the runtime we've had and the experience that has been out. For example, I know John Adams is going to be working on effectively updating his website and his submissions in due course. I'll do the same. So, and you know, there's a little bit of runway here. So, maybe the thing to do is to be a little bit thoughtful about precisely how to replay those submissions so that effectively there is even more momentum behind those thoughts going in. I also understand that in Senate estimates, other political parties will be asking the Treasury as to what happened to those 4,000 submissions, right? So they haven't necessarily gone away, but clearly they were successful. And I think the third point is to say that, this is going to need attention over a period of time, right, to keep this bubbling along, right? Because what we don't want is a bit like the Hume effect, where effectively it's all goes through an artificial process with an end result that was already predetermined. I think this time the outcome is actually genuinely open based on what we know so far.
Well, and to that end, apart from what you just said, there are resources, your website, John Adams' website, our website, CEC website, and this really good website by Melissa Harrison, exposingtheblackeconomy.com. Use those resources to construct a good submission. But I just always feel I need to emphasize to people, you've got to appreciate that these things do work. This is, many times you feel you're spinning your wheels, you're getting nowhere. We're seeing an example now where it's actually worked. To that end, though, beyond just making a submission, We know we've had a good response from viewers of actually making calls, and good on you for doing that. And like I said, make some positive calls to the Labor guys, especially. But we're going to be caught. We're putting out a call now for people who are prepared to be part of a delegation in their electorate to go see their MPs. Now, you know, for a lot of people, you might think, well, you know, am I qualified to do that? It's a really affirming experience, actually, Martin, the first time you go and meet a member of parliament to try and tell them something. And I remember when it happened to me, I was quite nervous. And the main thing you learn is that you know more than them. And I kid you not, you do. You know, it's extraordinary how little they actually know. But a delegation can be very effective, right? So we're asking people, if you're prepared to be part of a delegation and you want to know who in your area will go with you, right? People who share your passionate objection to this bill, right? You might have different views on other things, but you can form a delegation. This will have make a big impression on the member of parliament. Delegations start coming and seeing them. So we're prepared to coordinate it. Contact the CEC on our number and say, I'll be part of a delegation. Tell us your electorate. We'll try and hook you up with other people who said the same thing, right? And in the course of while parliament's not sitting, while this inquiry is underway, we can still keep that kind of engagement with members of parliament up. Because they'll sit down, they'll hear, you know, what you can tell them, especially if you're some of these people that use cash, need cash, have, you know, will be affected by such a ban, not just from a standpoint of civil liberty. We all will be, right? That's important. But I hate the way politicians are blasé about these kind of policies and ignore the practicalities of the people whose lives would be affected by it. Like the way every interaction with the government now has to be on a website, right? Ignoring all the elderly people in Australia who find that kind of thing really difficult. Stuff them, doesn't matter. You know, that's the attitude we have too much of. So if you're someone who's going to be affected by that, you make sure you go and tell a politician how that works, right? Get in their thick head that they might flash their card around all the time, but not everyone's like that. And those are the sort of things can be very effective in getting the message through to politicians. So that's one of the things we're actually asking people to do as well. And these things, it will definitely have a cumulative effect as we've already seen with what we've done so far.
Yeah, absolutely. And Robin, I think it's just worth, before we shut off, just to say that Michael Sucker, who actually brought the bill to the House, I thought he was pretty unimpressive this morning, because basically he was just narrowly focusing in on, you know, tax leakage and gangs and, you know, all those things. It was like the real agenda and the broader agenda was just nowhere to be seen. And that is actually deceptive, isn't it?
Yep. Look, politicians, I've seen many politicians like Michael Sucker. They're in a minority, actually, to be honest. Most politicians are better people, but there's a section in there with thick hides and thick heads usually. Not all of them have thick heads, but definitely thick hides. They're there to ram things through. They're there to provide the muscle to keep their fellow politicians in line, etc. That's why someone like Michael Sucker's got to the job of assistant treasurer in this kind of government, right? They're there for their ability to ignore the public. And so all that means is if he's got a tin ear to the public, we have to blow up that tin ear, right? We have to, you know, really get through to him. And it's not going to necessarily about getting through to him. Flank him, get through to everyone around him. We know from the Sydney Morning Herald reporting, they had the party room meeting. There was four or five people that voiced their objections to this bill quite forcefully. As we discussed here, one of them was George Christensen, who wanted it known straight away, I'm opposed to this bill, because he's concerned about the backlash. And that we can do that, more of that, right? So people like Sucker can be left floating on their iceberg while we power ahead and stop this kind of policy.
Yeah, Robbie, well, thank you for your time today. Thanks for the update. We will keep everybody further updated as we go forward. And John Adams and I will probably do a post in a few days once we've got the next set of arguments marshalled. But if any breaking news, we'll be back and we'll keep your people informed.
Yeah, and keep an eye on that link for the committee website. And look for the date and make your submission.
Robbie, thanks for your time today. And let the battle commence.
Thanks, Martin.
See you later.